With me to 1 Peter, verse 1. We'll read 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Found on page 857 in your pew Bibles. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him, and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And we thank you, Lord, for your Son and the Word made flesh. In your name.
Children's Church is dismissed. Thank you, Bethany. Thank you for that song. Has anybody told you that you're beautiful? And you know, that's kind of the direction that we're going with the message today. And so that song fits in just absolutely perfectly. Thank you for bringing that to us today. I'll tell you, we've got a little bit of time this morning. And so I'm going to ask if we might have a couple of testimonies before we start with the message, perhaps while you're opening up to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Is there anyone who would have a word of testimony that you'd like to share with us this morning? Okay, if you have your Bibles, again, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want us to look at the idea of thankfulness. And Floyd Weiler's here, right? Floyd, I'd like you to stand up a minute. And would you please come up here? I would like you to turn and face the congregation while I make this announcement. Please turn, because I want you to look for something. Okay? Here's the announcement. I only have 3 points I'm going to share with you today. Your responsibility is to anyone who has a heart attack over that. You are to go and help them.
I'm sure only three.
Only 3 points that I want to share today.
You need help today.
Thank you. I want to give you some keys for living a thankful life. Thank you for participating with that, Floyd. Floyd always wonders what's going to happen when he gets called forward. But in this whole idea of thankfulness, you know, it's important that we take time in our lives to really focus on the good and the glorious things that God has given us. And so this morning, I want to do that. And I shared with the congregation early this morning in the early service that come the middle of July, we're going to be doing a series on the condition of the backslidden church and the remedy for backsliding and that kind of thing. And I'll tell you what, as a congregation, one of the first things that you can be thankful for is that you're here today and not then. I want you here then. Don't misunderstand me, but today we're not looking at backsliding. We're looking at these three keys, if I can use that phrase, to living a thankful life. Perhaps we should have held testimonies for after the message, because there will be those who will say, man, now I could give a testimony. But come back tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. So we want to look at three things, and I'm going to share these with you. We're going to look at them out of this book of 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to share with you, first of all, the first key is to remember who you once were. Secondly, realize who you currently are. And third, rejoice in who you are going to be. Okay, so we're going to look at these three elements of thankfulness. Remember, first of all, remember who you once were. We often forget the grace of God. We get into this mindset of, oh, I'm a kind of a self-made person. I am who I am because of I am just wonderful. When in reality, we need to remember that apart from Christ, we are, in the eyes of God, absolutely miserable. And in the eyes of ourself, we need to recognize that we're lost. And a lost individual is an individual that doesn't have hope for a heaven that is going to be a place of joy and peace and love and grace and all of those awesome things. And so we want to take a moment, even for those of you who have walked with the Lord for years and years and years, we want you to take a moment and reflect back and remember what God did for you to bring you out of a life that was going to be destructive. Take a moment to think about that. The apostle, as he is writing, I want you to notice this. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, as the apostle begins this, he is reminding the people, look, there was a point in time when you were born again. In order to have been born again, you had to have been lost and in a state of lostness, in a state of separation from God. And God reached down and He touched you and made you alive in Jesus Christ. Had that not happened, where would your life be? What would you be doing today had you not found Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? What type of an existence would you have? And it may simply be an existence and not a life. When I stop to think back in my own life of where I was at the time when I first heard that Jesus Christ loved me, I was a total mess. I was a total wreck. My life was filled with self-centeredness. It was filled with selfishness. It was filled with those things that do not build up my existence at all, but instead destroy what God wanted from me. When I think and consider all of the alcohol that I drank, and the damage done to my physical body, to my mind, because of the impact of all of that, I look back and I think God, in His mercy and in His grace, spoke to my heart and brought me out of that. Where would I be today had God not interceded in my life? I don't know. Would I be today? Yeah. Maybe not here. Maybe not in this world. But you see, I would always exist. Apart from Christ, even if I would die, I would continue to live eternally. The only thing is, there would be this place of separation from God and from all that is good that would be my residence. That place called the lake of fire. That place called hell, which is the absence of all good and is a place of continual torment, suffer, pain. But God, in His mercy, brought me out of that into His presence. He called me from a life of self-centeredness and sinfulness. He called me to be a part of His family. And in that, I can rejoice. And in that, I can thank God and live a life that says, God, thank you for the power of your grace, for your love, for your Holy Spirit, for life that you have given me. You see, every once in a while, it's good for us to look at that moment of our conversion when God spoke so clearly to our heart and said, I want to give you life. I want to give you hope. I want to fill you with the essence of love. Remember who you once were. Would we, if, for example, if we were in a burning house and someone broke through, fought the flames, rescued us, and brought us out into the fresh air, would we be forever grateful to that person? Yeah, we would. Well, you see, in reality, that's what God is offering us. We're in a burning house when we're apart from Christ. We're in a place of separation from God, and He is offering us life, and He fights through the flames to bring us out and to give us hope. Let's not be like those who soon forget the mercy of God. But instead, let's be eternally grateful. Let's be eternally thankful for what God has brought us out of and what He takes us into, which is His presence. Remember who you once were. Secondly, realize who you currently are. Realize who you currently are. Look at verses 5 through 8. He says, you've got a place reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, as I was looking over those verses, I began to stop and think, who am I? Who am I? When God reached down and touched my life and gave me life, who did I become? When God reached down and touched you and your life, Who did you become? And do you cheapen what God has done by a poor self-image? Who are we? Well, very simply, we are children of the living God. Stop and think about that. What does that mean? Children of the living God. You see, when God began this whole creation aspect, when He brought Adam into life, the scriptures tell us that there was an interesting aspect of Adam's creation that He didn't give to any other living, breathing thing. And that was the fact that we were created in the image of God. No other creature can that be said about. Only man. There's not a fish in the sea created after the image of God. There's not a bear in the woods created after the image of God. There's not any other creature created in the image of God. Only man. Now, with that creation and image of God in our lives, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, we are then made children of God. Wow. Children of God. Do you understand what that means? That means that we're not going to be slaves, but we are going to be heirs. We are not going to be separated, but we're going to be a part of the family. And we are brought in to a relationship with God where He is proud to consider us His children. You know, I have often looked on my kids with great pride and thought, man, God, You did a good job in blessing us with the children we have. And I mean that very, very sincerely. I love my children. And, you know, even though there have been times when my children made decisions that I didn't agree with, I didn't stop loving them. And I didn't throw them aside. I may have prayed a little harder for them. You know, I may have disciplined them. And you can ask Lynette whether or not she was ever disciplined. She will tell you she's the only one of our kids here, apart from Elisa, who now is one of our kids from clear over where are you from?
Denmark.
Yeah, what city?
Olibol.
From where?
Olibol.
From Olibol?
Olibol, yeah.
Elisa is one of our kids from Denmark. And we love her. And we are so proud of her. You know, And she will always be a part of us. And just like Vivian, who has just left to go home, she will always be a part of us. And Lhasa will always be a part of us. You know, they become a part of our family. And you know what? When we enter in to that relationship with God, we become a part of the family of God. The universal family of God. Now think about that. John Wesley, the greatest mind, in my opinion, in the last 400 years when it comes to theology. John Wesley is my brother. Wow. Why? Because he's a child of God. And as a child of God, that makes us related. You want to know something? If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're my brother or my sister. You've got no choice over that. You may try to disown me as a brother or sister if you wish. But God says, if you're my child, all of my children are brothers and sisters. I've got a family, folks, that is so huge that I have never met them. And it's going to take all of eternity to get to know them. Because I'm not just related to you as children of God, but to all of those who have come before and all of those who may follow afterwards. It's a big family. What do I have? I have God because He reached out to me. He reached out and said, I want you in my family. And the same thing's happened with you if you have trusted Jesus for salvation. God reaches out to you. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, He's reaching out to you. And He's saying, I want you to be a part of my family. Because I created you in my image. And I want you to be healed. I want you to be whole. I want you to be pure. I want you to be clean. I want you to be like me. Realize who you currently are. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child of the living King, you are a child of God, you have His image stamped deep on your heart, you have a reflective image of Him wherever you go and whatever you do. And that should make us want to honor God. Because we realize how serious it is to be a child of God. Don't let your life become cheapened by the things of this world. Don't let your life become worthless by the things of this world. Realize you currently are a child of the living King. And as a child of the living King, you should want to reflect the love, the grace, the honor of God. And if you don't have that wanna, there's something wrong in the heart. And it needs to be addressed. And it needs to be dealt with. You realize who you are. You have direct access to the God of the universe if you're God's child. You have the wisest counselor in the world living right inside of you if you are a child of God. You have the most faithful friend ever walking daily with you if you are a child of God. You have the person with the most power imaginable praying for you and working in you if you are a child of God. If you have given Him your life, you have Him now, not sometime out there. Now. Wow. That amazes me that God loves me that much, that He'll call me His son. That God loves you that much, that He calls you His son. his son or his daughter. That God loves you that much that he invests himself in you. That's who you currently are. A child of the living God. Related to the God of all creation. The third thing is that we need to rejoice in who we are going to be. You see, you're going to live eternally with God in a beautiful place called heaven if you're a child of God. If you are a child of God, you're going to have a body that will never be touched by sickness or disease. You'll notice in our bulletin every week we have a ton of people that are going through physical problems. You know that God has promised us that when this life is done, And we are brought into His kingdom, when we are brought into heaven, we're going to be given a brand new body that will never get sick. A body that will never feel pain. A body that will never sense disappointment. A body that will never become discouraged. A body that will be perfect and pure. And healthy. That's what He's promised us. We're going to have a body that will never be touched by sickness or death. Also, you're going to be reunited with your saved loved ones who have preceded you in death. You're going to be reunited with those who have passed before you. You're going to see what your mind cannot yet imagine. You're going to experience a perfection and beauty that is eternal and indescribable. What are you going to have? You're going to have all of God's kingdom. The Bible tells us that we are heirs of God and joint heirs of God. With Jesus Christ. Heirs of God. The Father is going to leave to us everything in His kingdom. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we're going to share together everything with Jesus Christ. Boy, if that doesn't make you thankful, you've got some real issues down deep in your heart. Down deep in your mind. I want you to understand, God considers you worthy to be His child. God considers you worth the sacrifice that He made in dying for you. God considers you a part of His family. He pours out His love for you. God considers you a dwelling place that He lives in through the person of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't live in cheap homes. He lives in the greatest that there can be. And He considers the dwelling place of man to be the greatest that there could be. Why? Because we're created in His image. That's why. The enemy of our souls wants to destroy the image of God in us. When we submit to sin, we allow Satan to have the victory. But when we submit to God, the image of God reflects through us and helps us to live a life that brings God honor. We ought to be thankful for that. Three things we should be thankful for. Three keys for a thankful life, if you will. Remember who you once were and the difference that God can make. Realize who you currently are. You are a child of the living God. Be grateful for that. And then rejoice in who you're going to be. You're going to be made complete exactly as Jesus Christ. You should be thankful. I should be thankful. Because God loves us that much that He invests that much in us. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time if you would please take your hymnals and open up to number 98. This is just kind of a chorus. Number 98, Jesus, we just want to thank you. And perhaps even as you are standing there, you will just kind of want to thank God. Maybe you would like to come to this altar and just spend a little time thanking God. That's always open to you. We want you to understand that. But perhaps during this song, you'll just take a moment to think all that you have available to you through Jesus Christ. And you'll just want to thank God for loving you as much as He does. Jesus, we just want to thank you.